So, fun times. This is part two of our Google I.O. 2016 podcast from day two of Google I.O. down here in Mountain View, California. And just like the first one, which, by the way, you need to go listen to if you haven't already, this one is brought to you by Casper for an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. It's got just the right sink, just the right bounce. It uses two technologies, latex foam and memory foam, and they come together for better nights and brighter days. Seriously, this is a fun mattress. It's got a risk-free trial and return policy. You can try it for 100 days with free delivery and painless returns. And let's be perfectly honest here, it's really fun to take out of the box. They fit a mattress in a box, you open it up, and it springs to life. It's really cool. $500 for a twin-size mattress, $950 for a king-size mattress. Compare that to industry averages, and it's an outstanding price point. Here's what you need to know. Get $50 off toward any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/AC. That's CASPER.com/AC. And use promo code AC when you check out. Terms and conditions apply. And because we're just going to blaze right through the second podcast, we are also brought to you by Harrys.com. HARRYS.com. Use the promo code AC to save $5 off your first purchase. You can shave smarter. You can shave for less. Harry's makes its own blades from its own factory, an old blade factory in Germany, and they liked it so much they bought it. The best part is they ship them straight to your door. For $15, you get a razor moisturizing shave cream and gel, three razor blades. When you need more, $2 each or less. An 8-pack is just $15, and a 16-pack is just $25. This is what I use. If you have a big beard, you still got to do some trimming every now and then. You got to clean up around the edges. It makes even more sense then because it's so much more economical. And they send it right to you. It's no tougher than that. I love it. So get started with a set that includes a handle, three blades, and shaving cream for just $15 shipped right to your door. So go to Harrys.com. That's HARRYS.com. Use the promo code AC to save $5 off your first purchase. And now, part two of the Android Central podcast from Google I.O. 2016. Enjoy.
Have we been recording anything?
So,
have we just done a podcast and not recorded?
Here's the thing: this take is going to be a lot shorter.
So much better than the last 20 minutes of podcast that we didn't actually record.
Well, you should have heard what Alex was saying. That wasn't fit.
He talked so much crap about. So
you guys and you're flying.
Welcome to take two of part two of the Android Central podcast.
Can we call this part 2.1?
2.1.
Phil, can we all have another beer now?
I mean, if we send somebody down to get it, crap, Michael Fisher has a company credit card.
Well, yeah, he does, but actually, no, you're right. But you guys have to start talking about something I know nothing about.
Sure.
Anything involving...
that's pretty easy. Yeah. We could start with, I don't know, smartphones? He walked...
Turned off the air conditioner.
Yeah,
I understand that this is what
I don't believe that for a second. Come on.
Thank you.
No, the dude is Mr. Mobile.
Mr. Mobile.
That's right. And I will say this, that
I am Master Mobile.
You're Captain Canada. Don't get it twisted. No, I will say this, Phil. I am really well qualified at one particular thing. That is pressing the record button when I start a podcast.
Damn! Oh! Wow.
I'm just saying.
Props to you for that setup. I'm impressed.
Thank you, sir.
So welcome to part two of the second take of part two of our Google I.O. Special Edition podcast.
Yes.
I woke
up. The most tragic part of that is you all missed Phil plugging in his phone.
There was like 5 minutes of play-by-play of me plugging in my phone and looking for chargers. No, I turned my computer back on to see how long we'd been talking about whatever it was we were talking about.
0 minutes.
And it was sitting there on 1 minute and 32 seconds. It's like, crap. So, we're going to do this again. Go around the room. Jerry is here.
I'm here.
Andrew's still here.
Yeah.
Michael Fisher has not yet left to get his beers.
That's correct. Mr. Mobile remains.
Or can we just get room service beers?
I can go get us beers, but you talk about the Chrome stuff. I'll get beers.
Okay.
Because I don't know anything about it.
Daniel Bader is still here.
I want you to be here for the Chrome stuff because I want you to learn about it.
Daniel Bader is
still here. I'm going to listen to the podcast.
Daniel Bader is still here.
Howdy.
And there isn't much that Daniel does.
Alex Dobie is still here. I'm trying to remember what I said the first time. If you haven't listened to the first part of this podcast, day one of Google I.O., please go listen to that
now. We recorded that one.
We actually recorded that one. It was great. Go listen to it. What are you pointing at? You're allowed to.
I was ordering a drink without taking
a sign language drink order.
I was making sure my drink order didn't interrupt the podcast.
What else did we talk about? I said something about how people gave us crap on the last podcast for not doing it in video over Google Hangouts.
But we should all be sitting here with our laptops
on Google Hangouts,
recording into Google Hangouts.
Yeah, we're all in the same room,
and there will be so much reverb. It's going to be.
You know what? Let's take a second there.
Yes.
The quality of a Hangouts recording
is pretty
sucks.
Crap. Yeah, it's not
for
good.
Rebroadcast, it's horrible. And guys,
even on a nice dedicated webcam, it's
rebroadcast
terrible.
Is important for stuff like this. We love you.
Hey, now that Fisher's gone, I have a question. How's he going to come back up here with six beers?
Drink carriers.
I will find out. He's very resourceful.
I was just joking, but I'm not going to turn down.
No, absolutely not. He's the new guy. No, so go listen to the first part of the podcast. It was all the stuff from day one, the keynote. More Android and stuff, a little bit more Android Auto. So part two, which is where we are now, or where we were 30 minutes ago. Sorry.
I've still got plenty of hot takes left. Don't worry.
Day two.
Takes have only been getting hotter in that time.
Right. I know.
They've been sitting on the stove.
We started out with the VR session early this morning.
Yep.
We did, Alex and I went and looked at the Android Auto stuff that sort of got teased yesterday. We went and sort of took a look at it. Well,
That was a sleeper. It really slipped in there.
Yeah.
The thing they really didn't mention at all, and we'll discuss this in more detail later. But we got basically full Android in concept form, but it's clear it's you know way more than just a concept because of the way it looks and just the interaction that's built into it. But full Android basically running on a car. The first car that we're saying that is basically just an Android device.
The big sort of showstopper that was teased yesterday is Android apps on Chrome OS. We're going to talk about that here for a little while.
Big deal.
And I want us to talk about the show itself because I know a lot of developers are listening to this against their better judgment. What are you doing, Andrew?
I can't breathe out of my nose. Allergies,
wait,
man.
Mouth to mouth.
That is you, so much better than me plugging in my phone. I'm glad we did it this time around.
Wow.
I do want us to talk about the show itself. Just because it's very different, because it's at the Shoreline Amphitheater, not in Moscone West,
a beautiful
in San Francisco.
Place.
It's been beautiful, but it's been logistically challenging. And I want us to be fair about it, but I think there are some things we need to say about it because it's been a tough show for a lot of reasons.
Right.
And I know saying like this is a tough show is seems a little spoiled of us.
Yeah, but yeah, this is still my. I'm still so glad I'm here.
Absolutely.
And it's been a little extra hard on me, but I still would
it's
rather...
It's been hard on a lot of people, but I do
I
want to at least talk about
it. More importantly, it's been hard on people who aren't us.
Yes.
Right.
And who paid a lot
right.
more money than we have to be here.
A lot of their own money to be here.
Yeah,
and to,
so I do want us to talk about that. So let's start with the VR again. Sorry. We opened the session this morning, or we opened the day this morning with a 9 o'clock session on VR where we got more details about what they... I mean, like the keynote was like the 10-minute version. We got the 1 hour version this morning, right?
They did that with the keynote really well this year. They gave us a glimpse of what they really wanted to tease us with. And then this morning we went in and got the meat and the potatoes above
the gravy.
No, we didn't. You had to go to all the other sessions to get the gravy.
Oh, man. Now I'm hungry.
Well, fair. Andrew's balancing his computer on the couch arm.
No, precariously. I thought I had to sneeze. I was going into the other room. I'm good now.
It's like Jerry and his coughing last night.
Sure.
I was just trying.
You have to back away slowly.
And I did. It was so slow. It was stealthy as hell.
We were so tired last night. I listened to that line this morning and was just cracking myself up. These podcasts can be fun for us, too. So what was the gist of the VR session this morning?
The gist? Google wants to cash in on VR like the cash cow it's going to be.
Is it only a money play, or VR is important, right?
Well,
it's an ecosystem play as much as a money play.
Sure,
right. And the people that work at Google are nerds. Oh, they love this stuff. It's not a cash thing to them. This is so cool. We've got to do it, which works really well with the people counting the beans at Google. So they're all in. There's not a half-hearted attempt here.
All right. So what else did we learn about it? It's not Google VR. It's not Android VR. It's Daydream.
Right.
I need a more subtle.
That can be someone's ringtone right there. I think it was
Daydream. No, that's not good either.
I don't know. That sounded like Charlton Heston coming down from the mountain.
Right. Yeah.
So in a proper Google way, they're setting out standards for what they're going to hold phones and VR accessories to be Daydream ready. And if they meet that standard, they're going to be able to run all of Google's VR initiatives in software with Android N right out of the box.
Which does two things. It promises you an experience that's always good. And number two, it doesn't force anybody to include anything on their hardware that they may not want to include.
And number three, it gives Google a reason to tell people to upgrade their damn phones from Gingerbread and get a new one because they really need to get this latest VR thing.
That's a big part of Chrome, too.
Yep.
And if you combine that with the cardboard side, which we were talking about a little earlier.
That's a good question. What room are we in?
204.
Okay.
So if we combine that with the cardboard side and say, okay, cardboard is the basic thing you can get on any Android phone, and if that gets you hooked on VR, then maybe you consider Daydream and a higher-end Daydream-certified phone for your next.
And the important thing here is that Google, just like a lot of these other things that are, you know, ancillary parts of the Android experience, you know, this isn't going to be a daily use thing for every Android user that buys an Android phone that costs more than $100. But it's going to open up VR to a lot more people than would be able to get into it, because sure, Samsung can partner with Oculus and spend hundreds of millions of dollars creating a VR experience and marketing it and baking it in to their phones and doing on the software and courting developers. But, you know, maybe ZTE can't do that. Or maybe new smartphone maker that we haven't seen yet cannot do that. But
I have an important update.
Those new smartphone makers can build Daydream-ready phones, and they get all this for free.
Andrew's trying to filibuster me there. Apparently the bartender's giving Fisher a hard time for not room servicing these beers.
Oh, we could do that.
Continue.
Well, next time. But that's what's important.
Didn't miss a beat, you know?
Just in the same way that Marshmallow was announced and it includes Doze, for example. Now, every phone that uses Marshmallow can potentially have better battery life without the manufacturers having to do tons of crazy optimization for their hardware. This is the same exact thing. All they have to do is meet a certain set of specifications when they build the phone, load Android N on there, and they have a VR experience that they can sell their phone as being Daydream ready.
And they can sell their phones with Daydream headsets.
Google did all the work and development for them. They made the reference hardware.
I want to step back a little bit there, because the requirements for Daydream have to do with latency. They have to do with thermal performance. To do those, it is inherently tied to the hardware. You can't achieve those without hardware optimization.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. All they have to do is the hardware part. They don't have to spend... You know how much money Samsung has spent on Gear VR development?
A gajillion US dollars.
Lots of Korean won. And
so 20 million won.
Right. Because the exchange rate's crazy. So they have spent so much money because it has to be a marketing behemoth. It has to be courting developers. You have to create the headset, load all this stuff, partner with Oculus, do all this. You don't have to do that. In the same way that anybody can buy a Google Cardboard viewer, and I think Michael Fisher noted, like, LG can just make a general viewer for the G3 and G4, and they have all that VR content. Well, they can load this up with Android N, and they're going to have YouTube in VR, play movies in VR, the Play Store in VR.
That was the big thing for me, was that big, giant ecosystem that's already on our phones.
Exactly.
It's not this separate thing you have to download and install. It's just going to be there.
It is, but at the same time, it's an ecosystem play. And if Samsung obviously... Of course. Samsung's got in there early with pushing their ecosystem through it. This is in the same way that it makes it difficult for any Android phone maker to establish their own ecosystem on Android, will make it very difficult for anyone wanting to do an Android phone with VR to establish their own ecosystem, with the exception of Samsung, which has a gazillion dollars to put it on
its Samsung own. Has spent as much on Gear VR as they have on Knox t-shirts for Andrew. I agree.
A lot of money.
but you know, you really nailed something there. Samsung, the ecosystem is there. Samsung, the hardware or the Gear VR leaves some to be desired.
Doesn't it basically guarantee now that no one else is going to have a VR ecosystem on Android besides Google and Samsung? Right. No one else can do it.
Right. And if you were to tell me a year from now that it's odd how Google's VR ecosystem didn't take off because Samsung's was already in place, I wouldn't be that surprised. Samsung is the bulk of Android sales worldwide.
Samsung is also betting, I mean, they're not afraid to, like we were saying before, they're not afraid to have two browsers, two app stores. You can guarantee that assume the Note 6 launches with them, but it'll be Daydream certified and it'll plug into a Gear VR, and hey, the next Gear VR might even be Daydream certified as well. You might be able to have a Samsung headset.
But the difference is Samsung actually trying to get the Oculus story?
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
What a guy.
Wonderful.
I guess we can just start offloading these onto the desk.
Yeah,
and figure it out.
It doesn't matter.
I think most of these are the same. And then we can...
If you couldn't quite figure out, our beer just got delivered by...
The hero of the hour is here.
And it's not Michael Fisher.
Right,
thank you very much.
Thank
you so much. Did nobody tipped him?
I'll get him on the way out.
Do you have cash?
I haven't had cash.
I got cash.
I haven't had cash in like 10 years.
I have a single U.S. dollar.
Did you take, it's San Francisco. He probably takes Square.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Oh, Jerry, you're the rescue.
Him down.
I will.
He can get both.
So,
this is even better than the last podcast.
Absolutely. The podcast we did 30 minutes ago was not this good.
The difference there is that Samsung is not going to Huawei and saying, how would you like to load the Samsung and Oculus VR experience on your Huawei phone?
Wait, what?
No, they're not doing that.
Let's back up because
hang on, before you get to that, I had a conversation. You weren't there. Fisher wasn't there because he worked for us with a certain manufacturer recently who has changed the way it's done things lately and said, you know what? We might be open to doing things like Samsung Pay on our phone.
Mm. But is Samsung?
Huh?
Maybe
Samsung's
would
not
be
open to putting Samsung Pay on other people's phones.
Well, it
should be.
Why not?
Because they want to sell Samsung phones.
No. Samsung wants to sell Samsung Pay a whole lot more than they want to sell Samsung phones.
Well, that's not
I find
true.
That hard to believe.
They want to sell Samsung
not,
as
not,
a
I mean,
brand.
Not to go off on that tangent, but same thing.
Samsung Pay on an Samsung phone is never going to happen. If it does, I don't know.
Yeah,
don't,
you're off your rock
yeah, you,
man.
Yeah, you're crazy if you think that's happening because it is in the name.
Gracias.
If you have a
Michael,
thank
you
Samsung Pay on an Samsung phone, where is the?
Okay, let's talk about Daydream.
Wait.
Yeah,
let's back up.
Gone off track there a little bit.
I want to talk about the Oculus Store on Samsung because that has done so well.
Yep. Except that you have to like set it up in the first place,
and
onboarding is hard.
Right. I don't care for the hardware issues with Gear VR. The platform was done well. It needs a little bit more refining. It's locked into one manufacturer because that's the manufacturer who designed it. But on the software side, once you go through the pain of touching it and initially getting it set up and pulling it out and touching buttons.
Are we still talking about VR?
Yes, it works amazingly well.
So dirty.
Yes, it does.
I'll put the explicit tag on this one too.
But the part that really gets me is Google is pretty much showing us what we have already seen from Samsung with the weird hardware visor method that causes phones to overheat because they're enclosed in a piece of plastic.
On a previous podcast, I did mention that the Nexus 6P is one of the first. It is the first Google phone to run this.
But
they put out the disclaimer saying that, by the way, it's going to get hot, basically.
Right, and we already know, Samsung has already done all the legwork for this, that enclosing these phones in that unventilated plastic tube is not good.
On your
doesn't the current Gear VR have some kind of fan in it?
Yeah.
That's why they do that.
And it's still
fogging
for me.
I didn't know that second edition did.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can... I'll tell you how to use it as a bong after the podcast.
Oh, wow.
You said you were making it explicit.
Outstanding.
Now how much would you pay for that Gear VR?
I got two of them.
Where are we? What are we talking about?
We're still talking about Daydream.
Oh, okay.
So,
again.
Yeah, for the...
Basically, this is still... we're several months out from this being a widely distributed thing. And the important part about it is that Google is thinking about it now as part of Android. In the same way that all of these other initiatives that make Android as a platform better, this is just another one of those.
As far as I'm concerned, like the next Google hardware event we have, like the next Nexus phone, tablet, whatever.
They'll say, here's our reference.
It's going to be, oh, by the way, here's our VR stuff too.
Sure.
What are you guys doing?
We're podcasting.
Oh, okay. What? Jerry's miming. Oh, I see. This is going to be a good picture if they figure it out.
Yes.
We're going to get there.
Yeah, Alex got it. Fisher's almost. Nope. Oh, nope.
Baby, you got it all wrong.
No, well, no, look at Alex.
Wait.
Oh, we're going the
yes,
left.
Yes.
Yes, of course.
We'll put the picture in the show notes so you
this
can.
This is going to be.
No,
yeah.
Wait.
Right?
Someone needs to be doing
it. It's hear no evil.
Wait.
See no evil.
See no, hear no, speak no, isn't it?
Hear no. Wow.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking
Well, now
about.
I'm second guessing myself.
This is great radio, isn't it? Yeah, that's how we
do it. I just want to take the picture now.
Jerry's like, I just want to put my arms down.
No, my God, you're still both doing it wrong.
Wow.
I've got it.
This is terrible radio.
This is, yeah.
No, but it's a lot of fun for me, so I'm cool with it. So, I mean, we're not going to see any of this for a little while. It's not going to kill Gear VR, we've decided. It's not going to kill Cardboard.
And if you don't care
It's
going to
make Gear VR better.
And it if is, you don't, because almost certainly the next Gear VR will be both.
And if you don't care about VR, then it doesn't make any difference to you. There are plenty of other things in Android N that are super exciting.
Jerry, I asked this question in our previous podcast,
which
half an hour ago.
You will lost in this current podcast.
Yes, well, only until we're done with this section.
Did it involve plugging in phones?
No, it involved, what if I don't care about VR? Does this mean it's taking up a whole bunch of room on my phone that I don't otherwise want it to?
In a nutshell, everything required to make VR better on your phone will also make everything else better. And you benefit from Google's research.
And that's when Alex said it's more about latency than anything.
Right. I was going to let him say it again.
It's about audio latency. It's about video latency.
Correct.
I did, and that was an excellent point for me.
Yeah.
It was. I wanted you to say it again, but...
He said it better. He did say it better.
Well, he said it in the Queen's English.
Yes.
You said it in my English.
Yeah,
Florida man English.
Yeah, Florida man English. How are you guys not calling me that just exclusively at this point? Hey, Florida man.
We all get it now.
Yeah, I mean, you have to. Andrew, anything else to add to that?
No.
Well said.
I think that...
Well said.
I think we hit it.
Yeah.
Let's get to something that Michael Fisher can talk about.
Sure. And then we're going to sit back and drink our beers and listen to Michael Fisher teach us.
I can tell you about Chex Mix in the press room.
The roasted seaweed.
Oh, dear God. So everyone here at I.O.
I get that it's California.
Everyone here at I.O. at least once I've looked at and I've been in the middle of a sentence and making a point and they're shoving something into their mouth that resembles...
It's hippie food.
The cellophane version of a Triscuit.
What's wrong with that?
That is bright green.
What's wrong with that?
And which goes into their mouth with a sound like just cellophane being...
Like dried
put in
seaweed.
A hydraulic
I am
press.
All about trying the indigenous... Yep. Cuisine.
Indigenous.
Of,
indigenous
Phil,
of
we're
Northern
in California,
California,
not, you know, the
I ate roasted
Brazil.
Seaweed today. I think that counts.
Oh, man, it's everywhere.
You are a brave man.
Yeah, no, I picked some up. I tried a piece yesterday, and it wasn't horrible, so I picked up a whole pack. I'm like, I could eat this, and no, I can't eat more than, like, two.
Yeah, no.
I ate chocolate on a stick that Andrew gave me.
Jerry found out what Pocky is.
Pocky, is that how you say it?
No, P-O-C-K-Y.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's different.
That's the best Pocky. Stuff ever. Whoever invented that, I love you.
The Japanese.
Japanese people.
Japanese people, I loved you anyway.
And then,
I love you more.
And then you laughed at me because I ate like six packages.
Yes.
Related to that, we have Android apps on Chrome OS now.
Yes, I've heard this.
Nobody was able to segue through that. That was kind of a hard stop.
Okay, look, Android apps are on Chrome OS now. And look, that happened for a while, okay? It's been it's been 2 years.
We had Arc Welder, which...
But well, all of that has been scrapped.
Yes.
Go back even further than that. We had that demo in the first time Google I.O. 2014, you know, Chrome apps running... Sorry, Android apps running in Chrome in a window. Through that process, we had Arc Welder. We had, you know, basic Android apps coming to Chrome in the Chrome Store. Now we have is the full-fledged Google Play Store and potentially billions of apps going to Chromebooks and potentially plugging the gap
And it's a first-class experience.
We need an asterisk.
Wait, is it? Or
millions of apps does not equal billions of apps.
Millions of apps.
Hold on, wait. What does a first-class app experience mean? I'm curious about that.
So before this, these apps were running in an emulation where you had a window.
Jerry, stop him when he says emulation.
No, I'm going to let him finish.
You had a window that was running completely separate.
Yes.
And it was not interfacing with Chrome OS on the backside.
Correct.
It was a self-contained
thing.
Self-contained.
So it was more like virtualization.
More like it was running in a container.
Well, no.
I was going to let him go, but I have to stop you.
Finish.
They're all wrong, but explain why they're wrong, Jerry.
The Android apps. Android apps with ArcWelder were running.
Oh, I'm sorry. We were still way back then.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Separate from the rest of the system.
I wasn't paying attention. I'm sorry.
This is why he's in charge, fellas.
Andrew's going to choke.
Now, they brought down to the.
That look. Did you want to hit me, Andrew?
They brought down to the base level of running right on top of Chrome OS the full compatibility with Android apps.
Okay.
Without having to do anything weird where you're doing you're not like running Android to run an Android app. You're just installing an Android app that hooks into Chrome OS in the back end.
It depends how you define Android. What it's doing is there is an Android runtime that sits in Chrome as an operating system, and then, you know, to run Android apps, you still need the Android runtime.
The question I posed to Jerry is this full Android running in full Chrome?
Okay. Alex hit the...
Explain to me like part. I am five, which right. At this point I basically...
The important part is, what is Android? Android is a set of runtimes and framework that you use to run applications built by third parties. That's all Android is. We call Android an operating system. We call it phones. We call it tablets. But when you bake it right down to it, Android is just a way to make apps run. It uses other parts of other operating system features and makes software that runs on your phone. But Android is about running apps. Google will even tell you that if you look at their old stuff about when they're introducing Android. Android is the way to bring apps to the world. That Android runs in full on Chrome OS as soon as Dev 53 is released. In full, natively, inside a container, direct access to the kernel, yet sandboxed from the rest of the operating system. The best, most ingenious, greatest way that it could have been done.
The really good questions at all this, and this was a bizarre thing. It got announced sort of last minute as a session. But very, I was sitting in there early with Jerry and Jason Howell and Jeff Jarvis, and at first it was going to be like 40 members of the press and then just a normal session. Then they kicked out all the developers, which to me is horrible. But it's just
that goes against the grain of a developer conference.
Yeah, it's just one more weird thing in what's been sort of a weird week.
Right.
And
we'll get to that.
The session itself was very much just a press release session. It's like a brief, like a press session we would normally go to. And not actual developer
which
stuff.
Which makes it all the stranger that it just wasn't dealt with 5 minutes in the keynote.
Sure. But I thought the really good questions they asked, because when you talk about Chromebooks now, you're talking about education, you're talking about schools, and you're talking about work. And so how do you silo all this Android stuff that, holy crap, is this huge world of stuff?
And this is the big thing.
How do you separate that off for schools and for
work? Like Jerry was saying, this was done in the right way. These Android apps are just as secure in the same way that Android apps are secure from one another when they run on your Android phone. And Chrome OS hasn't lost anything that made it Chrome OS in the first place.
And well, let's start right there. If Android on your phone is having security issues, it's your fault.
Oh, wait.
Most of the time.
There have been rare instances of less than 0.01% of users getting...
Let me stop you there. When Jerry says that, he means it's because...
I was going to explain.
Okay. He means it's because you did something you shouldn't have. You installed You turned on unknown sources and downloaded it from somewhere.
Right. And most
of the time. Or were tricked into doing so.
Right. That's Android was made insecure by actions you did. That's probably the better way that I should have said it.
Thank you.
That, not that you are a bad person and don't love your phone. But Android out of the box, if you don't go into the settings and change anything, there, and Daniel was quick to bring it up, there have been rare instances that were quickly dealt with and remotely fixed by Google. But
and because of the way Google has direct control of the software on Chromebooks, they've already said they're going to keep up to date with the monthly security and updates. So a lot of the issues that and the fragmentation, if you want to call it that, because that's the popular name for it, that affects Android phones, is just not going to apply to Chromebooks.
All this brings is Android apps. It doesn't mean that your Chromebook is running Android or that it's going to be in this weird middle ground where it doesn't turn into an
Android laptop.
No, it is still...
Yeah, you're not going to have a launcher.
It's still
you don't
Chrome
need an
OS.
Android laptop.
But you can install a launcher if you want.
Right.
This is... I'm sorry, Andrew. This is Android.
No. There's a Play Store. And that facilitates the downloading of apps.
This is the
apps.
Play Store.
Apps like a launcher. I don't know what you'd do with one, but this is...
Right.
You would run it in a window. You would run it in a window and use it to install other apps.
Yeah, so let's dig in a little bit to the specifics. So we're talking about Android apps. They don't necessarily have to run full screen. There are going to be three ways that you can use these apps. One is in a portrait mode like on a phone. One's in landscape. And one's maximized. So the rare great tablet app you can blow up full screen like they showed Microsoft Office, which Apple did at their own keynote. It's weird that Microsoft's this like poster child.
How long was it that and sorry not to jump ahead, but that they did some basic Photoshopping with Adobe's Photoshop apps on Android.
Yeah.
And then used the intent to send it into Gmail to email out a docx.
It's so weird.
In Android on Chrome in my eyes were just bulging at
that. Well, no, that was
I hate docx
because
that was
my point
precisely that. On
what
purpose.
They wanted to do.
Yeah,
that's what people
that,
do.
That is like worst case enterprise business. My boss demands
but this
docx.
This is real life for people who have a Chromebook and they're like, this really sucks because I can't do this specific thing because Google Docs doesn't work with it exactly.
My wife has that with it because she uses...
That Word does.
Yeah, she uses a MacBook Air and she has to deal with Microsoft stuff on that end. I get it.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, those are the two major criticisms and Google addressed them in the same sentence. Chromebooks don't have great photo editing and video editing software, and Chromebooks don't run Microsoft Office. Here you go.
That's
boom.
That's one of the biggest questions we get, is why don't you use a Chromebook for everything you do? And for me, it's video editing and photo editing.
And it goes back to the argument that I've been making for 2 years now, which is this is how Google plugs a productivity gap in Chromebooks.
Yep.
They're not going to do it in one fell swoop because it's only also unlimited.
Let's go back to how exactly it integrates with the system. The big part about it not being like Arc Welder is that the apps integrate with the system. For example, you receive a notification from an Android app that you have installed. It shows up in the Chrome OS notification center.
Not in like a little window within the window.
Right. It's not like you're running an emulation of a phone and it's separate. No, it has access to the file system in the same way that a Chrome app would. It has inter-app communication. It can use intents, like Phil said. You can hit share to Gmail, and it can open up the Gmail app. Or, if you didn't have the Gmail Android app installed, it would open up the Gmail Chrome app.
What if you did?
That's the thing. It goes so much deeper, and I can't tell you. It's killing me.
Why not?
Because of the people I talked to today that we're not allowed to talk about yet.
Okay, so here's the thing.
I don't know what Jerry's talking about, but...
This is great.
Did you just out them by saying that?
No.
Okay.
A lot of people were talking about how it might work.
Okay.
Here's the thing. Gmail has been a huge part of Google and Android and Chrome and every other platform. What is the default way for using Gmail on a Chromebook now going to be?
Right. Are you going to use the Android Gmail app, or are you going to use...
Probably not.
The Gmail Chrome app, which is...
I would use the Chrome app. I'm used to the Chrome app. I like the Chrome app.
I would, too, because
you can use...
Is it
going to
work
like.
Better with a keyboard, I guess, would be my question. I don't know.
Android works really well with a keyboard mouse.
That's actually a good... That's a good point.
Yeah.
Android apps will work...
Yeah, I don't have the answer to that.
With a touchpad on a Chromebook, with touch on the screen if the Chromebook supports it, and with the mouse...
And that has to do with how Andrew used the word integration very well. the Android app doesn't care if you're touching a screen or a touchpad or if you're moving a mouse cursor. It only wants to know where you clicked.
So I think that, Jerry, I can answer your question a little bit when, after this event that got rushed and there are too many people in there and whatever, I stayed after for a while and talked to Hiroshi Lockheimer. Obviously, you might have a, you might know
a thing or two about this, yeah.
And he said that, yes, we understand there's going to be some confusion because you can go to the Chrome Web Store and download offline Gmail. You can open the Chrome app inside Chrome OS, the browser, and you can go to gmail.com, and you'll be able to go to the Play Store and download the Gmail app.
So here's
so he understands that there is potential for confusion.
Let me go
there.
One further. Are we going to see the stores merge?
No. No. So this is specifically what Hiroshi said. They're not going to get rid of the Chrome Web Store because Chrome for Windows, Chrome for Mac OS.
Okay.
So and they have to have the Chrome Web Store there.
Hiroshi didn't mention it to Andrew, but Chrome is also open source.
Yep.
A lot of people build Chrome themselves.
Chromium,
and they are able to go to the Chrome Web Store and sideload apps.
Okay.
And so that also implies that we're not, at least not anytime soon, going to have a situation where this Android app support comes to Chrome that is not Chrome OS, so Chrome on Linux, Chrome on Windows, Chrome on Mac OS.
So I'd give it 2 hours after the dev preview drops.
Well, you reckon? But
this is open source on both sides. They will figure out how to merge it.
But further,
and we'll have it.
Hiroshi understands that there are people that use Chrome, not on a Chromebook, but on Windows or Mac, they go to the web store to download. You can get an extension that, you know, just something small. It can be an extension that you click and it shows you, you know, something from the page. That's not going to be an Android app. No. But people understand that I can go to the Chrome web store and I can get some, you know, Chrome extensions that I like. You know, maybe you have a YouTube downloader or something and you click the extension, downloads a YouTube video or something. Whatever. That's not going to be an Android app. People over time, he thinks, the Chrome team in general thinks, will start to just gravitate towards the Play Store for these rich app experiences like, you know, a photo editor, a word processor, a game or something, and the Chrome Web Store, which doesn't have the greatest base of development for games, word processors, photo editors, stuff like that, is just going to gravitate towards the little tools and extensions. So he doesn't see it as a problem as having both of these out there.
But I think the kind of halfway house between the two is you then have instant apps. And this was something that was addressed in a question in the session today.
I loved it. It's like, you can see the look on his face. It's like, well, why the hell wouldn't it?
Yeah, so it's part of Play Services. Play Services is part of Android on Chrome because, of course, it is.
And his answer was, so the question was, is this Android Instant Apps platform coming to Chrome OS, to Chrome OS now? And he said, anything that works with Android works
on
Chrome OS.
Right. Explain what Android Instant Apps is. It's the ability to run an Android app from a URL.
Part of an Android app.
It's a thing that we as publishers are supposed to hate.
Yeah, so it's running part of an Android app.
I have a lot of questions about this, yeah.
It's running part of an Android app.
Absolutely.
It's been modularized by the developer, so you can load individual parts of it through a URL.
We've talked about this before. A big part of what we do is people searching for something, landing on the answer, and vast majority of the time it's going to be something in the forums just because there's so much user-generated content there. So the question is, do I, as the publisher, want somebody to see the Android Central app with the forums or our white-labeled Tapatalk app?
And that question becomes much more interesting when you consider that, okay, maybe...
I know which versions of those make money and which ones don't.
Yeah, which... I mean, it's up to you whether you make a modularized version of your app or not. You know, right now the AC app isn't because nothing is.
Sure.
Isn't, so nothing is, so...
But I also know which ones offer better experiences.
Yeah,
There are going to be a lot of interesting questions here.
But the thing I'm getting to is that, okay, you have instant apps, then you have Android apps on Chrome. If there's no reason why instant apps can't work on Chrome, then suddenly you have this blurring of lines between what is a web experience and what is an Android app experience.
I really want to know, like, when my kid is using her Chromebook for her homework and she searches for something, what's she going to see? What's going to pop up?
Searching where for what?
Depends on what.
Searching Google for whatever. Is she going to get? Is she going to get an app return? I just don't know yet. Is she going to get an instant
app? I don't understand the question. Like, she's going to... she's on a Chromebook, right? Yep. She uses a Chromebook Pixel.
Yep.
Because...
She's the luckiest kid in the world. It's left over from me.
Right,
yes.
She's Phil's
kid. My kid is spoiled, yes.
But so she's searching on Google.
Yes.
Obviously. Researching for something, and she wants to know about a historical event.
Her science fair project was on blood pressure.
Sure. Yeah. She searches for, blood pressure readings and how they're taken.
Yep. I don't know.
Like, they're going to look at her search history, for starters.
And she's going to start getting ads for...
Right. They're going to target right. her
in
his 50s.
I know she has a smartphone as well.
Yep.
If it happens to be a phone with a quality camera on the back that has an app in the App Store that takes...
It's a Nexus 5.
So yes, it's good.
Best phone ever made.
Well, no, that's quality enough.
Okay.
We're talking worldwide.
Yes,
there are apps in the App Store that can monitor heartbeat and blood pressure.
Yep.
Based through the camera, she very well may see an instant install.
So that was actually another big question out of all this today was, what about Android apps that need specific hardware components that might not be.
So again, this is, it will work. Anything that works in the way that Android developers can have specific requirements for their apps to run.
It's in the manifest.
That's going to be the exact same thing for a Chromebook, which, by the way, of course, we're going to run into those headaches because not all Chromebooks have touch screens, so that's going to create some issues for some
user interface. GPS was the big one.
Yeah, GPS or...
And it sounds like they're working on maybe other ways.
Levels of Bluetooth quality, certain screen resolutions, stuff like that.
Accelerometers. Not every Chromebook has one.
So
accelerometers is a good example.
Or rear-facing cameras or anything like that.
I know in the Q&A, GPS was used. That's actually a poor example because...
They can do network-based location.
They can do location services doesn't necessarily...
Right, different levels of fidelity. No, accelerometer.
But accelerometer, you can't get around that. Yeah. It's either there or it isn't.
But Hiroshi very quickly said, hey, we're working with hardware manufacturers to maybe include more of
this. I mean, Google thought of this before we did.
Google runs Chrome OS. They are uniquely involved with every manufacturer that makes a Chrome OS device. They can talk to them and say, you should really start thinking about touch. You should start thinking about these different kinds of cameras or these sensors. And then you see something like the Asus Chromebook Flip came out, and we were like, that's kind of weird. It converts over, and it's small, but it has, 10-finger multi-touch, and it has different sensors in it. Now you understand why, because that's one of the developments.
Okay. I think somebody in this room has been telling you for a year to get ready and buy those weird multi-touch.
And lo and behold, that's one of the three first compatible Chromebooks.
That was my big question for Andrew today, being our resident Chromebook expert.
Well, I'd give Jerry that title, but...
Nah.
Was all right, which one do I need to buy? I need to go buy a new Chromebook. It's been a long time since I've had a new one. The only one I had living around is the original Pixel that we got at I.O. like a long time ago.
Oh, how do you live?
Mia uses it.
Still a great computer.
You start by reading what I've written about what you need from the hardware, what you need from the memory, and you decide. Right now, it's kind of hard to justify spending $700 on a Chromebook.
And there will be new Chromebooks.
Right, but when you have... Alex's millions and millions of apps that you can install on your Chromebook, that $700, $800, or more dollar price tag may not be such a hurdle to overcome.
Okay, so the first three, the Acer Chromebook 11, R11, sorry.
So these are,
don't buy that.
These are the three that are compatible because this is going to be coming in the developer channel of Chrome OS
for
developers to download their apps.
And when we say developers, we mean people listening to this podcast who want to go play with this stuff yesterday.
Who went in and changed the flag and you're now on the dev channel.
Which one do I buy? Acer Chromebook R11, Asus Chromebook Flip,
yes,
or the second generation Chromebook Pixel.
If you're Jerry or somebody like me who really digs Chrome, you buy the Pixel.
Still, if you're trying to experience the Android apps...
Andrew had the perfect answer to this today, and he's absolutely right.
Go ahead.
Buy the lowest spec one you can. Or was that just for our purposes?
But no, just in general. I would I would say that, but I would say that for everyone, because the most interesting thing about the Chromebook Flip is that it flips over and you can have it in this, like, you know, kind of tent mode, and it's all touch.
And it's $300.
It's $300. It's got a really great screen. And it's
Phil's buying a bunch of them now. Yeah, for everybody basically. In this room.
Because
you get a flip.
You get a flip.
You get a flip.
It's kind of the best.
Everybody on the podcast.
It's the kind of, it's the best device to be the this weird blurred line between Chrome OS, Android, and then now running Android apps on Chrome OS, because it's a 10.5-inch screen. It's just like the Pixel C. It has a full keyboard. It has, you know, great touchscreen. It has all of these different sensors. It's convertible. The Chromebook Pixel is very much a laptop. The Asus Chromebook Flip is more of this convertible device, and it's only $300, not $999.
So does this kill what Microsoft has been doing? How does it relate to
that? That's the first thing I saw on social media.
Yeah,
buy,
exactly.
Buy Windows 10 App
right.
Store.
Which, no. Which is why I asked the question.
No. This, number one, this doesn't apply to any device that runs Windows yet.
Yes.
I don't think that
yes.
it ever will.
And here's
yes.
the thing.
Yes.
You can, if you want,
and I'm all for like making those guys a little paranoid, a little more paranoid.
Sure, because
me.
Then they'll work hard.
You just
yes.
don't want to jump the shark right now. If we're talking about even 4 months from now, when this is out to like most people, and they're just downloading apps, and they have an Asus Chromebook Flip, and they download Lightroom for Android, and they're tweaking a couple photos, that is not the same experience as if you have a Surface Pro 4 with Lightroom
yeah.
on it. For
oh my
real.
God, Dan Rubino would flip his lid even if somebody thought about that comparison.
But, right. It's not even close. So that's...
Wait,
don't go there right now.
Wait. It's not the same. I agree.
Yeah.
But I'll bet even for Dan Rubino, and Dan, I love you, it's good enough.
I love you too, Jerry.
You, well, I love you and the other Dan. I
other
love
Dan.
All the Dans.
And
but,
Thorpe.
And the third
and,
Dan.
And, right, Dan Thorpe from our newsroom.
And if you're listening to this and your name is
but
Dan, Jerry loves you.
I love all yeah. the Dans. But
any
none
other
of
week,
you
that
Dans...
That would totally be the podcast title,
right.
by the way.
None of you Dans are getting paid to produce professional quality Photoshop
absolutely.
Content.
We have to try to differentiate there that we need... certain people need different levels of
right.
quality. And for a lot of people running Adobe Lightshot mobile on your
is more than enough.
Lightroom
is a-okay.
That includes all of our Dans.
Yeah.
All of our Dans, right. All of
but,
our Dans would be well served.
But don't start
with...
doing a Windows 10 store death
right.
watch.
There's a huge
that's
difference
BS.
There.
BS. That's not where
you could dedicate
Windows
an
Phone
entire
is already
podcast
dead.
To this
but
topic.
Now, but now, think about think about 2 or 3 years down the road when there are millions of these Chromebooks out there. Perhaps it could persuade developers to start doing more with their Android apps, understanding that they have all these new capabilities
no.
on a Chromebook.
Well, and I'll tell you why. Because from a programmer's, a developer standpoint, it's a whole lot easier to build apps for Windows proper.
Yeah.
Not the phone necessarily. And I know there's convergence and all this other stuff. But if you've got a Windows computer on your desk or in your laptop bag at home, it's really easy to write apps for that.
Sure,
and that wins.
There is that, and I also will counterpoint my own point by saying...
Are you going to drink that beer?
Hold on, I've gone cross-eyed.
Which is, how long has Google been trying to get developers to make great tablet layouts for their apps?
Oh, that's
how many,
good because you hit that this afternoon.
How many
Andrew,
great
if you,
tablet
if you read
layouts
my editorial on AndroidCentral.com a couple of weeks ago, you would have seen me addressing that point and seeing how if you combine what Google is doing in Android N with having freeform mode, with having mm-hmm. split screen mode, and all the stuff they're doing there, and at the same time you have this incentive for them to make larger form factor apps that are resizable, then yeah, this is good for everyone, including
it is good
Android tablets.
If they still right now and for a long time, phones that are between 4 and 6 inches are the vast majority of the install base of all of these apps.
How vast? There are a hell of a lot of Chromebooks.
Vast, all caps.
Vast, six times.
Bold.
Yeah.
6X.
Swiping
right.
as they say out of shout mode.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So
that's next year.
Yeah, we can talk about incentives and make, you know, sure, it's, you know, more big screen devices for developers to write apps for.
All right. Yeah. I'm gonna call it on the Android on Chrome, because
I got one more thing I really want to say.
Okay. Developers.
Well, some people may take this the wrong way, but it's not meant the wrong way. Chrome is a more important platform than Android, because Android is what they need from Android, a way to run apps and for Google to get its content out and get your content in so they can make their money.
Well, once upon a time, and this was back when BlackBerry was really doing some dirty stuff, I thought. You remember where I'm going with this? Yeah, I said remember. Android apps are just—they're not going to be Android apps. Android apps are just going to be apps.
And they are. Well, that's where we're going.
And that's where we're going.
And that's that was the goal of Android.
Let's finish the section with a question for Jerry, and that is: what happens if you install Chrome for Android on Android on Chrome?
That's the first thing I'm trying. And if I go back in time and find my own father.
No.
Things are going to change.
It'll install just fine, but it'll be a really crappy experience because
somewhere
Android version of
somewhere Chrome, 15 miles down the road, Google has already created that singularity. I guarantee.
Right. Well, I want to try to see if I can't enable freeform multi-window inside Android apps on Chrome, multiple instances running on the desktop at the same time, and build a Windows 10 live tile desktop on
Chrome. I just want to give Google credit for demoing Clash of Clans on it today, because they went lowest. Actually, that's a big deal. But they started going, you know, that race to the bottom, and here's something millions of people play.
So that's a good point, because that's a freemium app.
Yep.
In which you install it and you get hooked and you spend a lot of money on whatever you do on that.
Minecraft is
that
fun.
Was
you
the,
should play.
The session before the session before the session before Android on Chrome OS was Google Play, and we were sitting in there and it was 250x, because we don't say times anymore.
No.
When did that happen?
When we moved to the West Coast.
Did I miss a memo? No, it's a few years ago.
Really? When CD-ROM drives got really fast stuff.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, they have hard numbers for how much more revenue an app will make in a freemium model or paid money. I mean, it was interesting to see.
And so my point there is that Jerry was talking about how developers will want to target that large audience of Chrome OS people that could potentially start giving them money. But a large portion of that Chrome OS base are people that said, what is the cheapest POS computer that I can buy on Amazon, refurb, that's 2 years old, that runs Chrome OS?
Why would you want to buy a point of sale?
Stop.
That's $89. And do you think they're going to spend $9.99 on an app?
No,
their computer costs
$9? Okay, all right, way into the second round.
That's my final point.
I thought you guys were going to be done with Chrome by the time I got back.
I know, right? Sorry.
Yeah.
All right. Let's quickly pivot.
Android also. So.
I will get you a Chromebook.
Thank you.
Do you want the Cadillac of Chromebooks?
It'll be a
or
point
the common
sale.
Man's user Chromebook to well, be I'll familiar. You,
so speaking of common man stuff, Andrew, Alex, and I went and saw Maserati today.
Ooh.
Does
it go 185?
It went nowhere because we waited an hour in the sun to get in this thing. This is the one that's running Qualcomm 820 powered.
Was it really hot?
Android on
it is full Android in a car.
Snapdragon, did it get really, really hot?
Well, here's the thing. We waited for...
That was your segue, man.
Yes,
go.
We waited for an hour in the sun to get in this thing. And literally, as soon as I sat down, the power went out. My ass somehow put this electric jolt through
You're walking around on carpet, shuffling around.
And through a Mercedes like 50 feet away, and they went dead. But we did get... So here's the deal with this. It's a Qualcomm sort of concept unit. It's got a big, giant, vertical 15-inch display in it, and it has a digital display in the normal spot where you would, you know, expect to see it.
Where's the 15-inch display? Is it
in the middle? Yeah, it's like Tesla display. Yeah.
Okay, and then above it is another digital?
No, the speedometer in the usual
usual
spot.
Okay.
Yeah, the console is also digital.
Okay.
And so it's all powered by Android and by this Qualcomm, you know, technology. And...
And we got to see very little of it.
Yeah. I mean, it's very concept-y.
But
yeah,
you did get to sit in a Maserati and break it.
Yes.
Well, we did, yeah.
I don't get to do that every day.
We got to see a separate demo, which is kind of like a standalone demo station of it. It's reasonably obvious to me this is... They're calling it a concept now. I think it is not going to stay a concept forever. This
somebody will do it eventually.
Yeah,
it's to keep NVIDIA honest as much as anything.
Yeah, and it's about infotainment. It's not so much to do with the core functionality of the car in the same way that Android also is. Mm.
The bigger deal to me was Android Auto standalone on a phone. That's one of the top things people have asked for.
Yeah,
I don't want Android Auto. I just want a damn car mode on my phone that doesn't suck.
Yeah,
you mean like car mode.
Yeah, right. Google has reintroduced car mode, like Alex said yesterday. And it's not horrible. It's sort of an oversized UI a little bit with big giant touch points as it needs to be.
And there's a lot of commonality between
Android Auto. I use Android Auto every day.
I hate that idea.
Why?
Because, an hour after it's publicly released, it's going to be on XDA with all the safeguards taken out to keep you from killing somebody behind the
your phone.
But I mean, you could also just not enter car mode.
What's the difference between that and just doing that on your setting display timeout to non-existent and just doing that?
Yeah, it's a car mode. You hit home and it takes you back to the home mode of this thing. You have to go you have to go into the drawer menu and say exit. It's car mode. That's all it is.
I'm jaded. I'm a member of a public beta for another car mode.
I'm sort of against this. I like the idea, and it's not like you can't escape out of Android Auto as it is now. I mean, they will say yes, we put up this blank screen so you
can hardwire
it. It takes like 2.5 seconds to get out of that. I specifically have not said how to. If you figured it out, you figured it out. This is a big pet project of mine. I mean, put your phone down. Somebody's calling somebody over there.
Grand. Well, I imagine
who is it?
Let's live blog it.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know who
put them on the podcast.
Yeah? Oh, that could be a lot of
speakerphone.
Yeah. Absolutely. This is a call from California.
Do it.
That's where we are.
Hello. There's a lot of noise on that call. Hello.
Where are you at, man?
Where are you at? Who the hell are you?
This is Josh, dude.
Oh, other Josh.
Vergara.
We're gonna, wow.
Oh, Android Authority is calling in on the Android Central podcast.
That is a first in history, I would wager.
Oh, shit.
The Matrix.
Oh, I win. I didn't. It wasn't me this time.
Hey, I'm going to have to get back to you, friend. We're busy discussing. Are we done with Chrome? Or are we talking about cars?
Yes, we're up to cars. Yeah, right.
Chrome in your car. Your car
we're
now runs
hacking
Chrome.
Cars.
Can
into
you
more
install
deadly
the Android Auto app on a Chromebook?
In a car.
Would you download a car?
I'll send you a message afterwards. Can you guys keep talking?
Now we're just listening to his conversation
with
bated breath.
But this is so much better than me charging my phone.
Using Android Auto, which he's probably not.
So you've got a phone-based version of Android Auto. All right, it's car mode.
Okay.
We did demo Waze on Android Auto, which is the other big one people have been asking for. I'm excited to use that, I think. I've never used Waze in the car because I'm not going to... I don't put my phone up in my car.
Waze for car... Does it require less interaction with your phone than it... Than it I,
well, no, I,
like I
mean, you're going to you're gonna interact with the screen instead.
See?
Yeah, it's still you're touching stuff.
I want Android Auto
they did
to turn
say,
into something I don't have to
well,
touch.
They did say eventually you're going to be able to do just, you know, audio cues like...
Good.
Oh, report man. Construction here. Or
they're
going
to use all of that data they get from Google Home.
Sure.
All of the new Google Assistant stuff.
Yep.
And that's going to be the next major leap for Android.
They
Auto.
Better.
Yeah.
That's,
no, it absolutely.
I've got kids out in the road. I don't want you guys messing with your.
No,
phone.
And neither do I. But I love the idea of Waze. I love being able to say, hey, there's a speed trap up here.
Yep.
Hey, there's construction here. That sort of active notifications of things that are going on. That's a big deal. That's good.
Yeah.
I'm glad. I would rather just be baked into. To Maps, I think, and I can just announce it right then.
Well,
but.
Does Google owns Waze
yes.
on some level?
Yeah.
I mean, why is that not?
Completely.
I know.
100%.
Why is
it's
that just
weird.
Not part of
I don't know.
Of,
I don't
it
know.
It is. They've integrated traffic
Yeah,
well, but the results, warnings. Yes, but not the reporting.
I understand they don't want to make people mad by taking away waves.
Oh my God, you took away waves!
But okay, let's just change the icon and call it Waze. Sansa,
so. And Waze is an ugly app. Come on, guys.
It really is. Yeah.
God, it's trash.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big stuff on auto. We've still got, we saw some of the manufacturer specific apps. So like when we were sitting in a Honda, and if your car needs an oil change, you'll get a notification saying, "Hey, you need an oil change." Workout
tapes by Honda?
No. And oh, by the way, here's where you can go get your oil changed. It will easily direct you to a place like that. Now, my first thought was, all right, how do they direct that into money somehow?
I was going to say, yeah.
Like, at what point does that become an ad?
Sponsorship deals with Firestone?
Sure, yeah. But you know what? Not the end of the world, maybe.
Maybe. I want to have faith that my car is going to direct me to someone that benefits me and not just...
That leads to a smarter car in a pretty easy way, and I think that's a win-win at that point. You're going to get these diagnostic codes on your car that you don't have to go look up yourself, or, oh my God, all right, I have a 2005 Civic, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not smart in any way, shape, or form, so my little yellow engine warning light comes on. I bought one of those things on Amazon so you can read your code.
Yeah.
Because the dealer wanted to charge me $100 to read it for me.
Right. Dude, do you know you can buy a black round sticker for $1 that goes over that light and it goes away?
Well, that's true, too.
The problem right away.
But no, but I wanted to know what was wrong. Right. So I diagnosed it for, $30 or whatever.
And there's no reason for Android Auto not to be able to do that.
No, that's great. Right. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Android Auto is a very slow moving ship.
Do you know what I want from the next big thing from Android Auto?
Ironically. What's that?
If we can get Daydream certification for phone hardware, yes. Why can we not get Android Auto certification for...
I thought you were talking about VR in cars.
For hardware.
I was thinking that was where you go.
So when you go buy a phone, you know right up front whether it's going to work with your car stereo.
All right, we are...
I just want to...
Yes.
Strap a VR headset to your head unit and just experience VR.
We are digressing more than I intended.
We are. I think the last thing we have to talk about is...
The show itself?
The show itself, because it's been a challenging one this year in a lot of ways.
I let me preface this by saying we are not complaining at all.
This is the bread of the sandwiching question.
Yeah, it's... Google I/O is a special thing, and I've been coming since my first year of doing this job, and back then all you had to do was fill out a form for Google and you went. It's tougher for us to go. I don't know if we're coming every year. It's hard for us. We just spent a whole bunch of money to send people here, and that's business money. That's not even developers are spending their personal money to come to this thing. They have a huge stake in this stuff.
I don't care about your money, Phil, to send me.
No, exactly.
I care about these guys here. Yeah, we just talked to save
and
the guy at the bar about.
There's a guy sitting in the bar downstairs in this hotel talking about it. I want to have Mike Wolfson, who does our Android apps. I want to have him on next week and talk to him about it because he had concerns about it leading up to this as well. And we walked in. Was it Tuesday? Alex and I went and got our badges, and we're looking around, and we could only see a little bit of what was going on. And I'm like, oh my God, it's Disneyland down here. This is going to be great. And in that respect, it was.
Could you set the scene about how this is laid out?
Yeah, so if you don't know this part of California, we're about, 40 miles south of San Francisco?
Yeah.
And the San Francisco airport's on a good day, a half hour drive outside the city, not a huge deal. On a bad day, it's an hour or so at least. Moscone West, which is where a lot of conferences are held, Apple does its stuff there. All the Google I/Os I've been to are there. It's a big conference center.
That's what it's built for.
Everything is right there, but it's also very boring and very just sterile and people
it's not
in
very
rooms.
Cool, man.
So last year, and we talked about this last year, it was fewer sessions in those rooms and more, I call them pods. They're not really pods, but smaller sessions.
Sandboxes?
Yeah, smaller sandboxes, smaller sessions. And you could tell that was the start of that. It was less of a consumer-y thing and more of a let's help people who actually make this stuff. And you still had that this year. And talking to Google, it wasn't necessarily about letting more people in. But
that was more a side effect of having it in a larger space, right?
Yeah, and part of that was Moscone's under construction right now.
Yeah.
So they just couldn't do it. But there are real logistical issues to having it outside. We're down here at Shoreline Amphitheater. And I love amphitheaters. I mean, they're great for concerts.
Well, this is, I mean...
They're not so great when you're there at 7 or 9 in the morning and you're there working and learning until 5 and 6 p.m.
Well, you're in the huddle of in a grass field.
Yeah, you're in the huddle of developers that otherwise would be indoors in Moscone under sunlight
and let's be perfectly honest.
At 9 a.m.
Most people who... Not most people. I can't put a number on that. But a lot of us... And a lot of people who do this sort of thing for a living are not, you know, outdoors types. There's a lot of pasty people here, including
myself. They are, they're outdoors types on the weekends.
Right.
During the week, which is the thing that they're here for.
I live in Florida. This is, 2 and 3 days, all day in the sun, that's a lot of sun.
Right, during the week, it's hard. When they're trying to learn about a new thing that they're going
to
develop
for. You don't have
to
worry about.
They want
to
sit inside.
Yeah.
At a table or at a desk and learn about
coffee.
That's not even getting to the real issue, and that is the lines for the sessions. Where I went to one session over the past 2 days.
These sessions, there are dozens every day, and they all overlap, and there are different. Normally, this would just be conference room one, conference room two, all the way down.
Instead of 500 or 1,000 people, the one where they were able to cram in Android on Chrome OS, I counted. It was 120 seats.
They have a...
I counted too.
Yeah.
Gigantic parking lot.
Anally retentive.
It was easy math.
They had a gigantic parking lot, like, would be for people who just park for the amphitheater, and they just built... They put in these big temporary tents. And now, as big as a tent you can install, it's not room for several hundred people for each of these sessions every time. So you have... Little tents of people standing outside to, like, when we were waiting for this, Alex was like, this line wraps all the way around the corner and back again. It's like 200 people in line for 75 seats inside, and nobody's telling them that there's only room for 75.
That's really what it is. There's just bad communication from Google itself. Very few people knew what the capacities were for the various mini rooms.
Almost, I think, Andrew, you mentioned this today, it's almost like the Googlers themselves were too, well, not necessarily Googlers, but the organizers were too passive themselves in communicating this to people and saying, look, you're just not going to get in. This is the number of seats we've got.
Well, now, I saw the aftermath of when they're not passive today, and that got very ugly.
Yeah.
It's a hard spot.
That's what happens when people spend $1,000 of their own money plus travel expenses to be
here. Right. I'm not pointing any fingers at anybody. I think the important thing we do here is we can't blame anyone for this. We can blame the ideas that maybe weren't thought through to the end, but the people here are doing everything they can in what they think is best.
Because they can't reconstruct a conference center in the parking lot of the Shoreline Amphitheater. Because they would just go to a conference center.
There are certain things that in order to know whether it's broken or not, you just have to test it. And the way of testing it is to hold Google I.O. in an amphitheater and see how it goes.
But idealistic where the way they have it set up, it's supposed to be in an ideal world. Okay, people are riding in their Google bikes in, and they park them there, and then they go, they hang out on a lawn, and they talk about Android apps,
really,
and they play
really
Jenga,
hard.
And they just hang out in the sun.
Right.
You forgot
about
Seesaw.
Except for all these people are not Google employees that do that every day, because the Google campus is kind of free-form and all over the place. These people are coming here for 3 days.
I would hate
to learn
see,
as much as they can.
And there's going to be a lot of bad feedback. I take it back. I was in a second session, the Google Play session, before the Android on Chrome OS. And whomever was leading the session asked, show of hands, who's been to Moscone? A bunch of people raised their hands. Show of hands, who likes it here more? Nobody raised their hand.
Well, see, and I wanted to because I like.
There's
this.
A lot about this that I like.
Right. I.
The execution wasn't perfect.
And
right.
Jerry
but
says this
sure.
riding around in a wheelchair all day.
Yeah, and I'm
this
not
was
sure.
very. This was very difficult to it and. I'm
we,
not
we
the
had
only
issues
one here.
Today, didn't we, with that?
Right. I'm not the only one here in a wheelchair, and I personally know two people who were here yesterday in their wheelchair but did not come back today because
it's tougher. Yeah,
it's nothing's flat, nothing is even. There are obstacles everywhere, but I don't blame the people here that are doing everything they can to help me and sitting there saying, oh my God, there's a curb. What are we going
to
do?
I think what made the difference was it's that much worse to not get into the sessions.
Right. I don't come here to write and tell you the best, the top nine things you need to know from Google I.O. or live blog. I mean, I can fill in. I come here because this affects the 362 days of the rest of the year, so I know what the hell's going on.
I'm real interested to see what Mike Wolfson has to say. Right. And I know he has some of the same complaints
too. Right. And I didn't get to go to several sessions that were very important to me and my job. Mm-hmm. That's a problem.
Now, all that being said, this is a much friendlier IO to...
Certainly.
To sort of wrap-ups and, you know, encapsulations on video.
I love the amphitheater.
It is sort of like a theme park.
Yeah.
At this I.O., I got to see a paint-slinging robot
yep.
that interfaced with your smartphone and a pirate ship and a pickup truck and all these art installations and also, like, a Project Loon balloon.
Yeah.
Which was the craziest.
I was a little disappointed they didn't have them, like, floating above
especially
us.
Especially as bad as the connectivity
all of those
is.
Things yeah. Should have actually, yeah, they should have had about 50 a month. But no, I mean, all of those things would not have been possible, or if they were possible, they wouldn't have been easy to achieve in a place like Moscone.
See, here's
I think there's a place for an assembly like this. I just don't think I.O. is it.
I like the amphitheater a lot. It made it.
I was speaking yeah. with somebody this morning that I think nailed it.
Maker Faire Google.
There are certain things that 1,000 or more people will want to see.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you go two blocks this way, we have offices that say Google all over the front that have huge cafeterias, and we have buses that go back and forth anyway that could have taken people to these 1,000-plus seat events brought us back to Disneyland.
You know what this really reminds me of is when we were at Mobile World Congress, Google took over the huge outdoor area between the halls and turned it into the Android Garden, which was exactly what they tried to recreate here, but... Because there are
larger space,
there are all these technical issues and so many people they couldn't do it. But they just wanted to make you feel really good about Google and Android and all of their services.
The irony is, you feel really good until you're standing in a
it line. Looks cool. It makes it seems like
it
wow. That's
it probably
a cool
worked really
idea.
Well on paper.
That's a cool idea. People are going to go around and they're going to hang out and it's outside and it's not stuffy and inside and they're people aren't going to be toiling away. But the difference here is that people come to this specifically to work really hard and learn a lot in 3 days, not just hang out.
It's easy for me to say, but if this was your first I.O., and we talked to people who, a good number of people.
It's my first I.O., but I'm not.
Yeah, it was your first I.O. Yeah, actually half of us here, it's your first I.O. I would give it another chance. I really would. Because if there's any company out there, I think, that can fix something like this and can learn from...
And Google already knows things have gone wrong.
Absolutely, yeah. We got an email last night that said, hey, by the way, we're going to redo some of the sessions on Friday if you weren't able to get in.
Right, which backfired in my case because that took time away from...
Sure.
But that's...
life. You have to punt sometimes.
This isn't here for me.
Right.
This is here for the guys writing the apps and building the
For some reason you're a developer out there and you're hearing us bitch about this... And it's your first time coming, I would say, hang on. I have a feeling they're either going to make it right or they're going to learn enough from it next time around to do it that much better.
The real important thing to do is sift through all the noise on social media.
Yeah.
Because there are people who like to complain just for the sake of
including
complaining.
Us, by the way.
And I have tried to restrain myself because I am in a special situation. And it has been...
And by the way, Jerry's in the best shape I've seen him in years.
It's because I'm just amazing.
That's right.
But this my situation doesn't apply to anybody else. And there are other people here in my situation, and we all take it in
stride
our own way.
The biggest logistical issue, I think, was the lines to get into sessions, and especially lines when you're outside.
And that's... I felt so bad. I know Phil is from an area of the country, but I'm sitting here, I'm looking at Alex.
Sunburnt.
And I'm looking at Michael Fisher, who they're sunburnt. It's gotta hurt. It's gotta be horrible. And it's because...
Feels good.
It's because of the conditions you had to stand in to see something.
We have sunscreen and stuff, and you can protect yourself against that.
Why am I caring about sunscreen when I should be caring about learning about all this stuff?
That's not even the issue.
I think it will get better. I think they will learn from it.
Everything they did was ostensibly to the benefit of developers. Their issue was that there were too many developers who wanted to learn. And that is a good problem
to have. Yeah.
And I think if we look at it and we kind of frame it in a positive way, Google outdid themselves this year. They put on an amazing keynote that went off flawlessly. They had women on stage, more women than I've ever seen on stage before, which deserves a shout out. They had great seating for...
I love the amphitheater idea. They had great seating
for press. They had... Jerry...
What?
I just wanted to say, I've been on stages with a lot more women on them.
Yeah.
Than, sure.
I'm not saying it was great. I'm saying it was better.
Okay. But I realized how silly and humorous that sounded when I didn't mean it that way, and I'm glad I stopped myself.
But also...
From saying
none of the things that you said that were good about this show had anything to do with being outside at an amphitheater.
But
yeah, they could have done any of that in the conference. If you look at
it in terms of the balance, there is a balance between the atmosphere and just the ability of it to function as a conference. I think that balance has been shifted in maybe less than ideal direction.
If they build it more as like a Google Hangout party, come see what's going on, hang out with a lowercase h.
You know,
then that would be fine. But this is a developer conference that's about people learning how to build.
It is, and I think there is a balance to be found there, and either it will be just back to Moscone next year and not business as usual, but maybe something more like we saw last year, or it will be kind of a drastic reimagining of what an outdoor I.O. should be, a lot more shade.
I think they'll learn.
Bigger tents, more undercover areas.
They'll learn from it and they'll do something different. I hope they don't shit can it just because there's a lot of complaining and because it was hot. I love the idea of this Disneyland for learning out there.
Me too.
And that's very much what I thought it was.
And seeing people chilling in the quad, you know, eating lunch, and it was really nice
playing
today.
Hacky sack.
There was Jenga.
There was full-size
giant Jenga.
It was great. I mean, there were aspects of this that were really fun, and I think some developers, once they kind of come down from the initial upset of not being able to get into some of the sessions, they're going to look back on this a little bit more positively.
And they'll say, next year, I'm going to just sit at home, and I'm going to learn about this stuff, and the people that want to go play in the sun, they'll play in the sun.
And how much of that had to do with not getting any swag?
I am. You know what?
Hey, we have to address it.
No, we should.
I am so glad.
They, at least as of Thursday night, they haven't had any big giveaways, and we've talked a lot about this before.
Well, I'm not going to say any names, but Andrew and I both know somebody who got an education ticket and is only here because they want stuff and they want to sell it on eBay. And next year, you won't be back. And a developer can take your spot. Ha ha.
We've said this a lot of times. If you're coming here, if you're coming to any sort of dev conference for free stuff, you're coming for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
That's not a new concept for us.
I don't know. That sweatshirt I got at SDC was...
That was a really nice sweatshirt.
It's pretty soft inside.
Does it say Knox on the front?
No, it doesn't.
See?
That's a soft shirt.
Oh, if it said Knox, I'd be going next.
Hey, by the way, Michael and Daniel had their first experience at the Android Statue Garden today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And the Google merchandise store.
That's my first time in the store. How did you guys like the Statue Garden?
Fantastic. So much fun.
Yeah.
Which one did you pose in front of for a photo?
We put our heads in the donut.
That was the fill. No, they went in the donut together.
Oh.
We were donut bread.
I have the picture of that.
I went with honeycomb because nobody
does honeycomb.
Nobody likes that.
Honeycomb we ignored on our shirt, and I still get crap.
Less than 0.1% of Android devices. Nobody gives it the love.
By some small miracle, you were still listening to this podcast.
Yeah, that's a long shot.
We've actually gone longer than day one.
At the same time, I mistook an eclair for a flan.
I was hanging out with my daughters as you guys were doing all this, and she says, "Oh, look, that's ice cream behind you." I said, "No, it's Froyo."
Yeah.
She's like, "What the hell is that, Dad?" if you were somehow, she didn't quite say that. She pushes it sometimes.
nice.
If you were somehow listening to this podcast still, an hour and 16 minutes into it, which for us is we're closing on an hour too.
Second take into
yes,
that's right.
Thank you, by the way.
Well, you forgot to add the first 40-minute podcast.
No, that's what we're saying. We're on like hour two at this point. Thank you for putting up with us for 2 days and all this fun stuff coming out here. It's been different. It's been parts of it have been hard. And I get that we're, you know, spoiled journalists for saying that, but that's not to say it's not hard.
Well, I have to drink water.
I know. Jerry had to switch from beer to water. It's been that bad. But you know, we get my point is we get that it's hard for everybody else out there.
It is. And look, we work a lot of shows and I would say this is definitely the hardest show I've been to in a long time.
Yeah.
The physical graft of having to
CES, you're not outside as much.
And do stuff,
IFA.
Yeah.
MWC, yeah, it's
tough. You know, I've always thought that I couldn't handle CES.
After you know, CES is different because it's Vegas and it's.
I don't know. Like, I'm not going to come away from this show with war stories because I'm.
No, absolutely.
Like,
not.
MWC and CES, you're running all over a city and there's traffic.
Right. It's the thing. It's almost easier to do that than it is to stand in the line and there's nothing for 6 hours.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm
glad I was here. I had a good time. It was a hard time, and I think it was going to be a lot harder for people who came here wanting more
I think
out of it.
We are all richer for having done this I.O.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Or Tanner, at least.
And I feel like this was my first I.O. with more than one person.
Yep.
And I think that was, you know, this was a great opportunity. We could send a bunch of people in different directions at once. And, you know, even though
we could all go and stand in different lines at once.
And we did. And, you know, even though there wasn't a lot to demo, because most of it's coming out later this year, there was still a lot of good stuff.
That was also one of the other complaints, especially from journalists. And I get that we're whiny about that. But a lot of what was talked about this week is coming later, coming this fall.
Well, right. You got to know who to talk to. I saw a lot of it.
Yeah. Do you have any of it now?
Jerry was checking his fingernails at that point when he said that.
I can't say what I might have access to and what I don't.
All right, Blofeld.
He's over here
with his naked cat right now.
Yeah, these are the things we're complaining about in the press room. But, you know, I went and had lunch today in the general area, and I was amidst a bunch of people talking to each other, and I wasn't contributing. I was looking at Twitter or something.
Sure.
But I was eavesdropping. And
you're looking at Twitter right now.
I love the fact that you're just honest about
Let
it.
Let him
I don't
finish
it,
his
I
story.
Yeah, no, I was just you know, occupying space.
Yes.
And, you know, they weren't talking about this stuff. They were not complaining at my particular table.
Yes.
You know, they were talking about, like, oh, where do you work for? Oh, you were developing these guys. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I've been there. And, you know, there was this... That is sort of everything I always ran into every time I overheard a conversation was just, you know, devs getting together and chatting about.
And that's what this is all about. I tell you, we ran into people downstairs at this hotel last night. If there's anybody out there who remotely listens to this, Firebase, you guys won Google I.O.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely. We didn't talk enough about that.
And it's
kind of overhead.
Right.
Yeah.
It's hard for us to... get you excited about Firebase, but you sure should be.
I'm going to have to go learn about it now just for the little bit of our app stuff that we do.
Yep.
Absolutely.
It's amazing, isn't it?
I want to end on a positive note. Jerry, what was the one thing you can take away from this Google I.O.?
I'll talk more about it on Sunday, but machine learning.
Yeah.
Google is serious. And that's...
Sundar said so in his
He said it a bunch of times,
yeah.
But it's... to actually see the progress they've made since they first got serious about it.
Yep.
And we all know that some of Google's competitors are serious about it, and machine learning is the future, and Google is ready to ride it.
Andrew?
Android apps on Chrome OS, but not just the fact that they run on Chrome OS, but what it's going to mean, this new injection of people paying attention to Chrome OS, I think is going to be really important. Whether that's end users who think, oh yeah, maybe I'm interested in that now, all the way up to manufacturers saying, okay, maybe we'll make a little nicer Chromebook because we know that there are going to be people, you know, a new injection of people that are going to be buying it. I think that that's important for the whole Chrome OS world.
Huh.
Michael Fisher, your very first Google I.O., we popped your cherry.
Yeah, I know. And it was a difficult one for me because I didn't get to sit there with a widget and tell people what emotions it made me feel while I handled it, which is usually my shtick, and that's what I prefer to do.
Sure.
So I had to sit there and actually do what you guys do and think about future implications and long-term strategy and all that kind of stuff. And Jerry sort of beat me to it there. I mean, not machine learning specifically necessarily, but Google had an entire show here where, and a keynote where it was like, we're not going to give you a new toy. We're going to throw a couple new innovations at you, but really, we're going to take a breath.
It's time for you to start thinking about this stuff.
Right, and also... like,
and that's sort of a cliche at dev conferences. Well, no, we want to know what you want to do with this.
It is. That is a cliche. But it's not just what they did. No, they sat there and said, we are reinvesting in ourselves, and we're showing you all the cool stuff that is going to be available in the fall or later this year. And we don't feel pressured to kick out something half-baked because we honestly don't need to do that. Because we don't feel like
is that a more
competition.
Is that a more mature Google? Because they have pushed out half
this entire segment has matured quite right.
What was it the guy downstairs in the bar said?
What?
Great ideas, horrible execution.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And that's been the case for a lot of years.
But this is the same Google that kicked out the Pixel C a few months ago.
Yep.
So I understand I'm not blowing sunshine up anybody's skirt, but I'm just saying
There's a backstory to the Pixel C that if we all knew it, we'd love it even more.
Sure.
I'm sure. And it's not what we think it is. I'm sure of that, too.
Daniel Bader.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to mimic Jerry and Michael here by saying machine learning, but I'm going to go a little bit further and say, you know, there's an abstraction to a lot of what Google talked about, but they did it in a way that was both compelling and accessible. I think the idea of Google Home and Google Assistant as being something that we can talk about without getting really confused. But the fact is, they didn't have to launch a bunch of new cool hardware, even though Google Home may be, to talk about how important Assistant will be to Google's future. And I think we've seen it in past years with Now on Tap, with the knowledge graph, and they've done a great job with those things, but this is all coalescing into what will inevitably be, I think, Google's most important product in the future, beyond search, Assistant.
The Assistant.
The Assistant as an ecosystem that can plug into any type of hardware, be it smartphone, voice assistant, car, anything, and have you be able to have a conversation with it and have it come back, give you answers in context, I think is the most important thing that I took away from this week.
Alex Dobie.
Yeah, I think for me it's going to be VR, and not just because of the short-term kind of implications of what Google's doing with the experiences that we saw today, but because I think they get it in the long term. I think they get it in terms of the way the technology's going, in terms of standalone headsets, in terms of maybe headsets that use the phone but have standalone lenses, and also because they see a need for a controller as well as just a headset viewer. And I think there's a lot of really promising stuff there in terms of the content as well, with Google Play, with YouTube. And I think, it's a really, really solid strategy from them in a way that maybe we haven't seen from Samsung and Oculus so far.
I didn't say anything. Why is everybody looking at me? I was very good.
The what about circle you? Is complete.
Mine is a little more selfish, and I'm okay with that at this point in my life, because right now, everything I do when I'm not out here doing this is my kids. I'm super excited for something that might well not work, and that's Duo.
Mm-hmm.
I want some sort of iMessage/FaceTime alternative that works, and works really well, and that people can build on. And that's where I hope Duo comes in. And to a lesser extent, although Jerry's looking at me like I'm crazy.
No, that makes me feel good. Not for the same reasons, but Duo is...
Why? My kids call you all the time.
I know, and I love your kids. Your kids are great. And I would love to use Duo to talk to them on the phone or on my new Chromebook.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what open source is supposed to be.
Right.
People getting together with ideas, making stuff that's great for you and your loved ones.
I want to make it easier for me to communicate with my wife and my kids to communicate with me and my wife wherever we are, whenever we're wherever we are. I was right in the middle of the session today, and I saw I think somebody coming up to spray our yard on our doorbell. I thought that was really funny. But no, I want that sort of communication to be easier and less proprietary. WhatsApp has done a good job with it. To a lesser extent, I think Snapchat. Snapchat's just weird, though.
Snapchat's fantastic. I just snapped a chat.
That's your entire job. You better think it's fantastic.
this week.
No, WhatsApp and WeChat and things like that, and those haven't quite taken off in the U.S. quite the same way.
That's true.
And to a large extent because of FaceTime and iMessage. Mm-hmm. I want that to get easier. I want it to get better. And on the Google side of things, that hasn't gotten better in a long time. And
yeah.
There are still some serious hurdles.
On the Google side of things, it has gotten, they've built it.
Right.
WebRTC.
That's almost the easy part.
Right. The WebRTC component in this is, it's a beautiful, if software can be a beautiful thing, this is a beautiful thing because it's simplicity and it can make somebody like Phil and his children's lives better.
That's what I want.
That's important to me.
It's all about Phil.
No, it's all about
.net.
Yes, it is all about Phil, and it's all about Phil's kids, and it's all about Alex and Dan and no, not Michael. But it's all about enriching your lives, and Google doesn't have to try to enrich your lives, and that's not their main goal. I'm not naive.
They'll enrich your life if you look at ads because
right.
You live long.
I'm not naive. Google is exists to make money, but it's just. It's heartwarming to see sometimes the people at Google care and they will put extra effort into things. And I just feel like the WebRTC component that's going to make Duo work, whether it works well or not, is one of those things. And I'm glad to witness it. I'll shut up.
No, look, I think we've got a lot of things to look forward to in the next year, including a better IO next year. I really don't want anyone to I think Google needs to listen to the complaints, and I think they are. But I think for anyone who was here or is considering coming, you know, trying to come to I/O next year, don't let this year be the reason you don't come.
Yeah, agreed. And I'm going to make a stupid Facebook video that's going to make this I/O look so freaking awesome. Because it was awesome if you didn't have much work to do.
Fair enough.
That nails it, though. The opposite of that is if you couldn't get any work done,
no,
it was so bad.
I know that.
But I am fully aware that it's not the people here, and you can't blame anybody. This happens when you try something
sure.
new.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So that's it for us, as far as podcasts go at this Google I/O. We still got more sessions to try to get into, more sun to absorb.
Yeah.
And probably more beers to drink.
Right.
Thank you, probably. if you haven't seen our tweets,
that's how they could make standing in the sun better. Beer carts.
Yes, beer carts.
About 20 minutes ago, Andrew put on his Google I/O sunglasses. And
yes.
Things have been going.
About
well
half a beer
then.
Ago, Andrew put on his Google I/O sunglasses.
So thank you, if you are still listening to us, thank you for joining us this week. Thank you for watching the live blogs and reading all the posts. Do me a favor, go read them again. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast, please. It makes a big difference for us on all the things. Google Play. God, we dropped a number of spots in Google Play Music. I'm very disappointed about
but
that.
What does that even mean?
What? Right. Did we really, or did something weird change in Google's robotic overlord that, well, let's just randomly change this number and watch Phil through our camera eyes?
I'm sure that's exactly what happened.
I hope it is.
Yes. So please subscribe to all the things. Mr. Mobile on Twitter and Facebook and Snapchat.
Mr. Mobile tweets and Mr. Mobile snaps.
Go through them all. Come on.
Mr. Mobile live. Mr. Mobile.
Is that a blog about graham crackers?
That's right. Oh, that would be great. Well, I mean, I was just looking over Bader's shoulder as he watched my Snapchats of him.
Wow.
I love you, but you are full of yourself, aren't you?
I am not at all, but that's what everyone says. And
the problem is that's what we're paying him. He's not like that at all.
I meant that as a compliment.
That's what we pay him for.
You are Mr. Mobile, Mr. Entertainment, and I love working with him.
So until next year.
I'm going to ask you more questions about technical matters soon, Jerry.
Or really.
I will answer anything from anything.
Until next week. Wow.
Yeah.
On behalf of these ingrates.
He's gorgeous.
Thank
you.
Seen
him?
No, you wouldn't know because we don't do a video podcast. So.
Good night.
Yeah,
all right.
Good night.
And we'll see y'all next time.
Godspeed.
Bye.
Wow.
Farewell.
Alex? Nothing?
Bye.
Alex is probably thinking about he needs a new job to get away from these people.
Yeah, pretty much.
Bye, everybody.
Toodaloo.